this is Amanda.
And this is Amanda.
And we are
Vagina Slip. Oh my God, we laugh so hard every single time.
I love that I can just make myself laugh by saying vaginas.
We need some good giggles because it is gray and raining out here in good old Seattle, Washington.
It's so cold.
It's kind of sad, but we're kind of happy because we just went to a birthday party and celebrated a good friend and had some mimosas.
Had some mimosas.
And some cake. And
oh my God, that cake was the coolest.
We had some delicious moist cake. I said it. There it is. But we had some delicious cake.
It was good. The cool thing was it was like edible glitter on it. Oh my God, it was so pretty.
I know. Thinking it was going to taste
like chalky, but it wasn't.
No, it was good. Edible cakes.
Wasn't big glitter.
No. Anyway, how are you?
I'm good. I'm just busy. I was looking to see on my phone my Christmas countdown and how many days until Christmas. It's like 13 days?
Oh, God. It is 13
days. 12 days, 9 hours, 13 minutes.
Oh, that's really stressful.
I'm going to just say something right now, and I feel a little bit embarrassed, but I have done zero Christmas shopping.
Don't be embarrassed
by it. I bought my dogs. I have two little candy cane rawhide or what, I don't know, with little red bows, and I have stocking stuffers.
Oh, that's ahead of me. I don't have those. I kind of do for Ella because she's easy, but yeah. Christian, what do you buy a boy anymore? I mean, they don't wear makeup.
No.
I mean, girls are easy, but boys?
And it's like, okay, so you have a phone. What else? Like,
I don't know.
Does he want like a video gaming system?
Well, he does, but he wants a PC, so he wants a big clunky system on his desk. He doesn't want a laptop gaming system, which would make much more sense to have a laptop, because then he could use it in school.
Yeah, but they're not as powerful.
Yeah, I know. We've been told. We've been fully educated on the fact that they aren't as good.
Well, when I've done shopping for, like, computers, you know, and we'll be like, okay, so whatever. And it's always, like, that Geek Squad person, and you know he's just, like, Dungeons and Dragons or just playing, like, 12 hours of video games, and then he goes and does the Geek Squad sitch. And he's like, so is there going to be any gaming? I'm like, absolutely zero gaming will be done on this computer. So just, I probably can get away with something super slow because I will do... No gaming.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No.
He's like, but there's some really cool wizards out there.
It's like, I don't like wizards. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're not down with wizards.
Next. No, so just busy working or not working. Driving.
And just getting
kids. Yeah. Just same old shit, different week.
But we are here to do number 11 of our podcast. Exciting. And we've gotten two sponsors. But we have to record for these sponsors to do a little commercial action, and we'll get them out in our podcast shortly. Yeah.
So how about you? How was your week?
It was uneventful, except I did drive Ella to Portland to see infamous Billie Eilish in concert, who... is this kind of soulful 16-year-old.
As soulful as a 16-year-old can be.
She's soulful and old soul.
Did you say she?
It's a she.
Oh, I thought it was a boy.
No, it's a girl.
Oh, cool.
But she seems so dark and depressed and a little emo.
I was just going to say emo.
And honestly, everyone in line, so Ella and her friend were there and they looked super cute and stuff and they were so excited, and that everyone else in line looked depressed and sad. They're in pajamas and stringy hair.
It was Portland.
Well, I know. But I just thought, oh my goodness, our kids stuck out like a sore thumb. But they sat outside for 3 hours. We gave them blankets and we went to Whole Foods. I said, well, they look like the best fed homeless people.
Well, you had sent me that picture, and it was like they're sitting there like with blankets and a Whole Foods bag, and you're like, oh, look at my homeless kids. And I was like, yeah, homeless with Whole Foods, they're roughing it.
Oh my gosh. And I just looked at all those kids and I thought, they're going to go in there. It's going to be like a suicide pact.
Yeah.
I mean, it was.
Don't make any arrangements.
Oh my gosh. If my daughter walked out of her bedroom all emo and sad, I would take her to therapy immediately. Yeah,
be like, this isn't happening. I'm sorry. You can go emo when you're 18.
But she definitely had a great time. She said it was the best concert ever. She did text us during the concert saying she's so hot. She thought she was going to faint, that she was basically had the girl next to her hair in her mouth. That's how close they were.
Yeah.
And she says, I think I'm going to faint. I'm like, step back. I know. No way. Like,
please don't text me. You think you're going to faint when there's nothing I can do about that.
I said, move backwards and get. And she's like, absolutely not. Well, then don't complain.
Yeah, just shut it.
So her friend's mom and I, we just had vodka sodas. And we're like three deep with these drinks. And we look at our watches. It's only 6:30. The concert hasn't even started. Because they were in line starting at 4 o'clock.
Oh, my God.
So we're like, okay, now what should we do? Because we're like, okay, we can't just keep drinking till it's over. Well, we could.
Yes,
so we went back to the hotel for a little bit and then came back and went to another place and had Spanish coffees, which were awesome.
Nice.
And picked the girls up and just drove back and they had a good time. I feel like it was a mom win.
Good.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking, so this week I actually had my Botox done for my migraines and I have been having so many headaches, and I go to my Botox lady, and well, she's a neurologist, and so, you know, and I just, like, I'm just crying. I'm like, I am so
tired
of this, and part of it is, like, I feel like she doesn't, not that she doesn't believe me, but, like, I don't know. It's just a weird dynamic. It's like,
do you feel like she hears it all the time, so she doesn't take people... Like, she's really not showing a whole lot of empathy because okay, another client with more headaches.
Yeah, and she's just like, and it's like, okay, so I'm having this headache and da-da-da-da-da. And she's like, yeah, well, you're just going to have to put up with them. And it's like, it's really hard just to
know that that is the answer.
That as an answer. No. Like, oh, I'm just going to have to put up with literally just laying in my room in the dark. Yeah. Like, oh, that's great for my kids. And I don't know. It just, I think I just was at my like
wit's end
breaking point. And I was just like, oh, I can't do this anymore.
Well, I've seen you in your worst.
Yeah. And there's in the ER with those there's migraines. No joke.
Yeah. It's no joke. Nope. No,
I wouldn't do that on for the fun of it.
You're not attention seeking.
Puking drugs. In the bushes at Silverwood.
Oh gosh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Oh my God, that was horrible. Girl. That came on like a...
Migraines are horrible, people.
Yes.
We both get them, but Amanda Flo's is much worse than my sitch.
And I think I need to slow my roll on a few things.
I think you need massages, maybe.
I know, and I'm such an idiot because every time... Oh, and the other... So what she said was like, she goes, you need a lot of like myofascial... work, so you need massage, and she goes, and you need the infrared sauna.
Oh,
I know.
Christmas. Can honey. I just shove one of these in my new house?
I know.
That's not totally. A bad idea.
No, actually. I've already thought about it.
They're not that expensive. No, I know. From Costco, you can get them and
like $1,800 or something. It's only worth
it if you can get rid of those headaches.
Yeah. Well, and so she was like, she's like, you have to do that. So, I'm gonna try that. She said it's like. It just helps with all that muscle tension and she's a firm believer in it. So
I'm a firm believer in anything that feels good, says it's good for our skin, it'll make us look 20 years younger.
Yes.
And
I'm also anything. At the point where I just will try anything.
Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah.
Oh my God. Chronic illnesses suck balls.
Suck balls, people. Oh no, don't suck balls.
If you want to, that's fine.
That is not the topic. That is not the soup of the day.
What is our soup of the day? Speaking of topics.
Soup of the day is friendship and how we navigate friendship through the years, starting with our little kids trying to make friends.
Yeah, I mean, just from the beginning into adulthood.
Till adulthood.
Yeah.
There are so many women, I mean, our age, and older and younger.
Don't even have friendships or are able to maintain friendships.
Why is that?
Well, let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
So, okay. So, in the beginning, you have a baby, and they don't have friends with anyone. But then...
Your boob is their best friend. Or their bottle is the best friend.
And then, and you know, if you're lucky and have, like, family or friends around, and you guys have kids the same age, and you can, you know, you might have that, but a lot of people don't. So, I think that's why a lot of people do mom groups.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, especially if you're kind of not in a city where you are from or whatever, so you're like, okay, I'm gonna do a mom group. And I think mom groups can be really tricky. I think we talked about them, and we talked about how judgy they can be. Yeah,
I think when, well, especially with babies, like, are you doing the right thing for your baby?
Does your baby sleep through the night? Does your baby only breastfeed? Does your baby do, you know, oh, my do baby you make rolled your own over baby yeah
I almost think mom groups would be more pressure.
I do too.
I think I would do something more like stroller strides.
Yeah. Because you're kind of killing two birds with one
stone. You're getting your workout in, and if someone judges you, you could totally lunge and kick them in the cooter. I don't know.
A little side cooter kick.
And... You know, my deal is when my kids were little, I liked to go to the nearest park and see if there's other moms there. And usually I bring up happy hour to see if they like to engage. And if they like to engage in happy hour, I invite them over for a play date where the kids can play and we can have a glass of wine.
Oh my God. I just thought of a story that you have to tell.
Oh no. What's this one?
Oh my God. Well, we'll get to there.
I was going to say, do I even remember?
Yeah, you will. So yes. So like in the beginning, you're like kind of, you're as the mom, like looking for friends for your kid, even though it's kind of friends for yourself, and that's a whole new group. And then like, you're kind of like, do I like the way they parent? Mm-hmm. Like, cause you start getting, you know, you have parenting is sort of like almost like a theory or that you live by, I guess. And so some people wouldn't jive together. They might be friends, but they don't necessarily parent in the same way.
Right.
So then that puts a strain on your friendship and da 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 da. Anyway, so you start trying to make these friends with your kids, and you're sort of, you know, pushing them like, oh, that mom looks cool. I'll encourage my kid on the playground to go play with that kid, you know, and then, so yeah, I don't feel like I did that a lot just because I had so much family around.
You do.
Yeah. And so it was like, they always had cousins to play with, and it was just, they just did, I didn't really have to. And I grew up where I had friends around that I knew that were having kids and stuff. So I never did a group or anything.
No, I think I did, you know, the park thing. And then I would go to one of the community centers that had like a drop-in playground, indoor playground. So the kids would go play on the mats or ride the tricycles or whatever it was that they did. But most of the time I tried, I did join this mom's group, but I went out to dinner with them all. And there was probably a group of 20 of them. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, what a boring group of people. I guess my problem is if I'm going out for dinner, I guess I don't want to just talk about kids.
Yeah.
And that was where I struggled. Like, I love my babies.
Yeah.
And I love them to death. But honestly, I think I wanted to make mom friends, too, that I could just be an adult with.
Yeah.
And that was really hard.
And I think that is a big part of those mom groups. I think definitely some moms are like, I want to be in a mom group so I can get away from my kids. And some are like, I want to be in a mom group so I can talk more about my kids.
Right.
And those are a huge difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then there's like mom groups at churches, which of course I never went to. Yeah. So when they're that little, it'd be nice for them to, but you're really just making friends for yourself.
Totally.
It's not for your kids.
They're just playing by each other. They're not really, you know, playing with each other. But then preschool starts.
It is their
first
exposure, though, to kind of sharing a little bit, which is good. And then preschool starts.
Yes. So then, you know, you have preschool, and now they are actually able to pick their own friends.
Yeah. Ella, in preschool, I remember there was a girl that she really struggled with her. She was not nice to Ella, and she'd kick her and she'd say, you're dumb and you're an idiot and I don't like you. Crazy part is now Ella goes to school with this girl. She's the loveliest, straight A, the kindest person ever. Yeah. Like, just, and I'm friends with her parents, just love, love, love her. And Ella and her are not friends. They don't hang out. They hang out in different groups of people. But I'm always like, it's so alarming how someone just is one way.
A little five-year-old is
a little dick. Yeah. But their parents are lovely. Yeah. And then they grow up and it's like, okay, I've grown up to be.
Yes. Well, there's that maturity maybe that comes with getting older.
And then we also kind of in preschool are like forcing them to have friends, I know. Right? Like, oh, you need to go play with this
Well,
girl.
And like you said, it's the beginning of sharing. So mm-hmm. that causes trauma for people. Like, especially if you're like an only child and you're not,
They're terrible at sharing.
Oh my. It's like,
I shouldn't say that. Some of you only children out there who are now adults, you guys might have been great at sharing. The ones that I've been introduced to in my lifetime have been terrible at sharing.
Yeah. Some are.
And I think, I wonder if that's because a lot of parents sometimes have guilt about their kids only children.
If you only have one kid at home,
are you yelling
and disciplining anybody?
I'm not.
They're just quiet and they're doing their, like, when I'm disciplining
just
my kids.
Little lumps?
Yeah, well, when I'm disciplining my kids, it's because the two of them are fighting.
Yeah, that is reason.
That seems to be most of it. When you're by, so if you have an only child and you're like, what movie do you want to watch? And they're like, The Jungle Book. There's no one else. It's like, fuck you. No, I want Toy Story.
True.
Right? So they're like, okay, Jungle Book it is. So you never have that sort of.
Oh. Until they're teenagers where they start eye rolling and all that. Then that's where these parents of only children are like, what the fuck just happened to my kid? Yes. Was there an exorcism that needs to happen?
Well, I think
here?
That happens to all 13-year-olds. So then they're making friends, and how was it, like, I remember, how was it for you, like, when that girl was mean to Ella?
It made me sad. In fact, the teacher brought it to the girl's parents, their attention. I know they felt horrible, and I'm good friends with the parents now, and we laugh about it now, but they felt horrible. And I think even the teacher had kind of said, like, well, you know, if she's not going to be kind, she might need to go to another school. And they were mortified. And I felt guilty.
Yeah.
You know, because Ella just wanted people to like her at that point, right? She was good at sharing. She was a nice little girl to other people. Now, previous podcasts, I've talked about how Ella was with me. So that is not the same as how she was with
the devil child.
Yes. She was with other kids. She's always wanted other people to like her. So she was a pleaser.
Yeah. So mine, I mean, Thea, pretty good. Tula, very, I mean, but both of them very strong personalities, know what they want. So they are the leaders running the show, telling people what time it is. So then oftentimes that makes people, they can be considered bossy, right? So like, so there's like this whole bossy factor of their, in that beginning of trying to establish friendships and trying to just understand themselves even, you know what I mean? So they're just like, sorry. We are in the car and we're trying to hide from Amanda's children.
They're coming home from school.
Because they're coming home from school so they don't like make a noise in the car.
So they just like walked up and I swear my son saw us, but he was kind of like looking at us.
So funny. Okay,
we both
sorry.
Sunk in the chairs.
And I'm like totally getting sidetracked.
Like
anyway.
We're doing a drive-by.
Bossy. And so I definitely worry about like, okay, are they being pushy? Are they being too bossy? Like, you know, because I want them to have friends, but I don't want them to be little a-holes, you know?
Right.
So you're constantly like, okay, especially when they're that little, like, 2, 3, 4, and you're like, oh, don't do that, don't do this, you know? And it was challenging, and it was the first time when you would be like, oh, that some stranger was just flat out mean to my kid.
Right, right. Well, I remember, so after that whole thing happened with the preschooler, we tried to get them. We're like, well, let's set up a play date with them and see what happens. So Ella went over to this girl's house and they were playing. And I think they set up like a dollhouse. Well, Ella decided to just knock everything down. Ah! And the girl was pissed. And I remember the mom calling me and being like, yeah, it's not going to work out.
Oh, my God.
So and that's funny. Not the first time. She had another play date once, too, with a girl she goes to school with and they're friends now. But I heard, they were over at our house and they were playing. And this girl wrote something on the chalkboard like, Ella loves all the boys in the world. And Ella was like, what? And like kind of hit the girl on the back. And the girl started crying. I come back and go, what are you doing? She's like, oh, she likes it. She likes it, mom. And the little girl's like, I don't like it. And I'm like, we don't hit our friends. So I have to call the mom and she picks her up. And I made Ella make the phone call and call the mom and apologize to the mother and the daughter. And I said, this is mortifying. What are you, a violent
no joke.
Human?
Well, and I just think you know, kids, they just don't know what to do. And oftentimes they're just like react physically and whatever. I mean, it happens. And
I mean, I hit you all the time.
I know. But okay, so now I have a 11-year-old and 9-year-old. So my 9-year-old just had her 9th birthday. We had girls over for a sleepover.
So fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun, but then there's a lot of, like, bickering that happens. And she wants to do this. And I'm like, oh, my God, you guys are driving me nuts. I'm like, does everyone need to go home? What's happening? Yeah. Like, get along. You guys are friends. There is no reason to be fighting about which dance you're going to dance to on Just Dance 27. Like, just pick a song and dance, motherfuckers. Like, I'm so over it.
I need to throw these disco balls at your head in a hot minute.
But the other thing was, I was like, and I had this moment where I was like, you know what? I don't have to be here. Like, you know what? Girls, do your thing. I can go in my room. I don't need to manage your Just Dance stuff.
No.
And if you want to bicker with each other, fine. And then I feel like Thea, when she was that age, went through that stuff too. Now, Thea at 11, sixth grade, I don't feel like she has any drama, but I mean, I could be wrong, but also it just doesn't, I don't know. I hear about it from other moms. I hear about little things, you know, but oh my God, I am such an open communicator with all of them. I'm like, if my kid ever does anything, call me.
That's how I am too, yeah.
I want to hear about it. I am not a mom that's going to be like, my kid would never do that because
no
one can say that. You never know what someone's capable of. Like, even though you think you've raised this child that's like this perfect little angel, in a situation, they might have a certain response that you've never witnessed before. And that just happens. So I feel like Tula, one of the problems with her is her friend group is such strong, independent girls. Well, guess what? That's what I'm trying to raise.
Of course it is.
So I sometimes walk that fine line of like, okay, yes, she might be pushy and she might be like telling everyone, like she might get her way because she's the one that says this is what I want to do and no one else says anything. But I'm not going to discourage that. Like I, especially in this environment that we're in right now, just the climate of our culture right now is women empowerment. And I am all about that with two girls. You know, I'm just like, you know, don't feel sorry for being a strong woman that has an opinion about something. No. You know, I've sort of been made to feel all my life that I should just like kind of be quiet.
Bite your tongue.
And not say stuff. And it's like, no, I get to have an opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I think we really, elementary school, well, actually, it was more middle school. We really dealt with the girl issue.
Yeah.
The mean girl issue.
Yeah.
So there's a great book out there called Queen Bees and Wannabes, and I did post it on our Instagram. You can find it on Amazon.com. And
I think actually Tula's teacher told me about that.
Yeah. It talks about the differences. So there's always the queen bee, right?
Yeah.
The center, the one who kind of tells everybody what to do, who you can be friends with.
Yeah.
And then all the wannabes who want to be that person who might not fit in with that clique. And it's just kind of how to deal with that and how to talk to your kids. And I think it's really important as moms to teach our daughters about what friendship's about.
Yeah.
And so in seventh grade, Ella did struggle with some friends who, she had a big group of friends and one girl didn't like something that she said. She misunderstood what Ella said. Well, she went to everybody and told all the girls that Ella said she hated them.
Mm-hmm.
So overnight, Ella lost all her friends.
That's so
crazy. She was going to go to celebrate Halloween with them. So she was uninvited. She didn't have anyone to go out with. Like, she would come home and cry every day. And as a mom, it broke my heart, right?
Oh,
you want to fix everything for your kids.
Punch people in the face.
Oh, my gosh. And there would be mean texts that were hard. I mean, there was only one time that I ended up calling a mother and saying, these are the texts that your daughter is sending my daughter. And normally I'm not going to fix it, but at this point where they are so mean, spirited, I was like, enough is enough.
Yeah.
That person is not welcome in our home. And even if you want to forgive them, we are done.
Yeah.
Like this I need to put a kibosh on. But normally I've let her kind of navigate through it.
Yeah.
And
which is the best thing. And you have to figure it out.
They have to learn.
Because guess what, folks? This shit is not only for when you're a kit, like when you're under 18. This is like a lifelong skill that you have to learn.
And so, I would say now she has figured it out in where she can say to people, like, you're a good person,
yeah,
but our friendship's toxic.
Yeah.
And I'm going to step away from this. 40-year-old women cannot do that.
Oh, my God, no. Most people can't.
I will say the peer pressure part, she still cares so much about what people think of her. And so does my son. But his kind of friendships are a little bit different, right? So we all worry to a degree of what people think. And it's like, at some point, it's got to be like, who cares? At the end of the day, who cares? But in your mind, I think, you know, we have been ingrained that we're supposed to look a certain way.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about beauty and Botox and all that stuff.
Like, yeah, I mean, as a mom of girls, that is a hard line, because it's funny. It's like you want to tell your children you're beautiful just the way you are. You don't need makeup. You don't need, you know, fancy clothes. You just have to have a good heart. Like, that's the message that you're just like pounding into them. And then you're like, I just got my fat sucked, and I do Botox, and I, you know, get my nails done, and I have
all these things, and they go to school and people tell them they're not enough.
Yeah.
And so when is it that our kids can feel like they are enough? So I think that is a good takeaway, in the sense you just want to let your kids know, like, you just be a good person.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, none of these kids are going to matter in your life. You're not going to know these kids in 10 years.
Yeah.
You're going to get through school and you'll look back and be like, I don't even remember who that person is.
Yeah.
But when they're living it in this day right now, all they think about is what's coming tomorrow.
Oh, totally.
You know, especially going to school.
And they just want to fit in.
They do want to fit in.
So a lot of that is peer pressure related. Like, oh, well, all my friends are vaping, I should vape. Ugh. Or all my friends are having a beer and, you know, I'm 15 and now it's like, okay, that's the time to do it. And it's like, no, all I wanted to teach my girls is like, do everything on your own terms.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, if, you know, if that is something that you like, oh, I did try to vape or I did have a beer, I would love to know about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, because I do think you're too young. I do think you need help navigating those things.
Yeah.
You know, I do think there needs to be a huge safety talk about what's going
on.
Absolutely. So
we have a safety word that I've given both my kids.
That's a really good idea.
They can call us if they want to come home from maybe a sleepover or whatever it is.
They're in an uncomfortable situation.
They don't want to say, I want to go.
Yeah.
But they'll call up and they'll say just, hey, mom. And then they'll say the safety word.
Yeah.
And then we know it's like, oh, you know what? We've got this. We're going to come get you. No, you can't spend the night or whatever it
is. Like, something came up. And
yeah. So then it's on us and not on them. So that's something that we've always had. And I mean, the funniest part is Christian's done it a few times where he's gone into the bathroom on an iPad at someone's house and he's like using the safety word. And we're like, you're in the bathroom. Like, you're by yourself. You could actually just say, I want to come home. But it's so, I mean, the kids, they do know that they are safe with us, and whatever pressure they're getting from their friends, that we get it. I mean, we all had that.
Yeah.
And bullying is horrible today. I mean, I was bullied, and I'll say this, I was bullied in fifth grade by three girls, and I was tormented. I do not know how I got through fifth grade, meaning I'm not sure I probably was supposed to pass fifth grade. Because I skipped school so much. I just told my mom my stomach hurt every single day. Because I knew it was going to be hell going to school. And our kids have it 20 times harder. Because now I have social media. And if you don't have the newest iPhone. Or if you don't look a certain way. Or you don't have the coolest shoes.
Yeah.
Kids say shit.
I know.
It's crazy.
Well, yeah. I mean, for me in high school. Well, for me growing up. Like, I was always overweight my whole life. And so it's like, you would think I would get teased about that. I probably got teased more than I know I did. But I don't really ever feel like I got teased, and maybe yeah. I wasn't paying attention, but I also feel like I pay attention to things. So I was like, but I was the youngest of four kids. Everyone knew my siblings. My brother could have been the total biggest jerk to me, but if someone ever said anything about me, he would have killed them. Yep. Like, I remember this boy one time, I was dating this guy, and they were like all on like the wrestling team or football team together. And I was like a sophomore, he was a junior, and the senior was like totally bullying my boyfriend at the time. And he was like, but saying inappropriate stuff about me. My brother fucking leveled him like on the ground, was like, that's my fucking sister you're talking about. So oh God, yeah, I mean, that. It's like, so maybe that was just like, people didn't bully me. Also, I could have probably been more of a bully because I am just like my kids and like, very strong personality and like, okay, this is what we're going to do. And we're going to go here. And I'm just more of a natural leader.
You are a and leader, for sure.
Like I have like, okay, you know, like, I don't know. I plan, I want things to go a certain way. So yeah, I mean, I just kind of take on that role. I know that that can be bossy, kind of coming off of as bossy for people, which totally annoys me. But yeah, so I never really had that of an issue. I can remember, though, saying things. I remember, like, I have this memory, but it's very vague, of this girl. I was, like, in maybe fifth or sixth grade. She was, like, a grade younger than us, so maybe I was in sixth grade and she was in fifth grade. And her mom was kind of this, a little odd-looking. Like, she had really long hair, like, past her butt, and it was, like, really, like, kind of like probably curly like my hair, but she brushed it and it was just this crazy hair. And I remember telling her like, your mom's a witch. And I think I gave myself an ulcer about it. Like I was
like how worried you were, so how bad you felt.
Horrified. Yes. I felt so bad. Like, oh my God, I remember sleeping and like thinking, oh my God, I need to tell my mom. I need to tell my mom what I said. I'm like, you know, and it was something like, I mean, it's what, 40 years later and I still am thinking, yeah. Or 50 or, oh my gosh, not 50, 30 some years later. And I'm like, oh my God, I wish I
could. So you've never seen that girl.
Oh, again. I don't even know what her name yeah. is. Like, I just like, I can remember sort of this thing that happened, but I can't remember yeah. what her name was or yeah. Anyway,
and that shit sticks with you. And I will tell you after being bullied in fifth grade, like, when I talk about it and I have spoken to my kids about my own experience, it sticks with you forever.
Yeah.
You know, and I can give the three names. I don't even know where these people are, but yeah. I could give the names of the girl. I can remember being on the playground after school with them and getting slapped by them and being just tormented. Like, I can visualize where I was.
Yeah.
My parents were getting divorced at the time. My mom was working, so no one was home when I'd get home, except my brother was. But there, I was so alone yeah. and isolated, feeling like this is awful. Yeah. Like, this is hell. And in fact, the next year after that, I ended up changing schools because I couldn't face it anymore. And now I think how kids have it, and now suicide is so prevalent.
I know. And that's the worst part of it. It's like,
kids don't see beyond
themselves.
And they don't see beyond now.
Oh, totally.
So they're just looking at, like, this next week, I'm going to go to school and I'm going to be tormented and how I'm going to face that. And I'm embarrassed to tell my dad because he's going to think that if you're a boy, like he's going to think I'm a wuss
yeah, like
or
you
a pussy.
Cry
and,
or, yeah.
yeah, you shouldn't cry. And then if I tell my mom, she's going to worry and go to the principal and it's going to make things worse
yeah,
for me.
Yeah.
So many things that these kids worry about more than what probably I worried about, but I didn't tell my mom and I didn't tell yeah. my mom till.
And isn't that funny
really
though?
The end
because
of the
it's
year.
Not like you weren't close with your mom or had
so
a close relationship with her. It's just like,
but nobody talked about
this
stuff.
But it's almost like you feel shamed. Like I did something wrong because they are being mean to me.
I felt like I must have done something wrong. But I knew what it was. Now I can look back and be like, I was the perfect victim. I was shy.
Yeah.
I was going through stuff at home. I didn't talk. We didn't talk about bullying because it really wasn't it was a thing, but no one had defined it.
Yes.
Right.
It was almost like bullies were almost like
popular.
Encouraged.
They
like,
were the popular.
You know what I mean? Like,
well,
if you can't take it too bad, then you're the wuss, right? And now it just isn't like that.
No. And they were considered the popular kids. Uh-huh. And I look back and I think, oh God, they probably had shit going on in their own homes,
totally.
Right?
I mean, they were probably so worse off than you ever were. It wasn't even funny.
I mean, I always think karma's a bitch, and they probably all lived with that karma afterwards.
People that are bullying, like, to a degree of, I mean, I'm not just talking about, like, telling people what to do, but, like, to a degree where you're getting, like, mean, hurtful, those kids are getting abused. I agree.
I think these girls all came from shitty families. But at the time, I didn't see that. I just saw, like, I am this total victim.
Child that's getting abused, basically.
So then at this point, as a mother, like, I am a mama bear. I mean, if I see, even in a playground, I see another kid picking on another one, I will go up and be like, yeah, you need to, like, walk away. You're being a total little asshole. Yeah. And when my kids, especially my son, you know, he's a pleaser. My thing was, you know what? You're at school. Someone puts their hands on you. You tell them to get their hands off. If they don't, you have every right to punch them.
Yeah.
I said, I do not care if you get in trouble. He's like, oh, I'll get red carded. I'll get in trouble. I'm like, I do not give a fuck. Right now, no one puts their hands on you.
Yeah.
And so I think talking about my own experience has really, number one, been ingrained in my kids to know that bullying will not be tolerated, right? I mean, they know I'd kick their asses if they bullied anybody. But second of all, just talking about it, knowing that they can feel safe and come to me. And according to Kids Health, they do recommend that you talk about your own experiences that you had in school with cliques. And when kids are rejected by peers, to put it in perspective, saying, like, this isn't going to last forever. You know, you get, your friends get mad at each other. Your brother gets mad at you. We all get mad at each other. Mm-hmm. This isn't going to last forever.
Yeah.
But, and I always remind the kids too, they're not going to know these people.
I know.
Right? In well, and it was, but at the time, it's horrible.
Yeah. And you, like, so for me, I know a ton of people that I went to preschool with. Do you know what I mean? So my kids are going to know a lot of their friends forever. And, you know, it's just learning. So, you know, Tula will be like, well, this person does this and this person does that. And all I ever say is, you can only control yourself. And if that person talks to you like that, maybe they're not a good friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you need to then, you can't control what she says to you. You can only control how you react to her. So your reaction to what she's saying to her might be that you're not friends anymore.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important you, like, kind of find the right fit, and fitting in isn't always the right fit for you.
Yeah.
I mean, find those people that make you feel good. I mean, that is it. You lift each other up. You're loyal. You're always there for them. That is what friendship's about. Yeah. Friendship does not hurt.
Yeah.
And
no.
I'll ask the kids.
It should be like something that adds more to your life.
Yeah. And I'll ask the kids, like, what makes, they'll say things about the popular kids. And I'll go, well, what makes them popular? Because it used to be a lot of the mean kids were popular.
Yeah.
And that's what made them popular.
Yeah.
Well, why the fuck would you want to be a mean kid? And then a lot of them do drugs. A lot of them drink. Oh, the popular kids drink. So that's what Ella deals with in her freshman year. She'll tell me a lot of the kids that she went to middle school with and elementary school with who were lovely kids. And they, I mean, they're lovely people, probably. But Ella tells me a lot of them who she was good friends with now just drink and they vape, and she's like, it's so stupid.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with her not being friends with these people.
Totally.
Anymore,
it's, you know? Like, well, Thea said, made a comment. So she's sixth grade, and she said something about, like, wanting to be popular. And I go, well, what makes you popular? And she couldn't even answer the question. Yeah. She was like, like, you have a lot of friends. And I was like, I thought you had a lot of friends.
Yeah.
And then she was like, like, she couldn't really articulate it. I don't know. What does make you popular?
It's
money?
It's that word, popular.
Yeah. It's you guys have just, like, in your mind been like, oh, this person's popular. I know what makes people popular. Looks, money, attitude, you know, all that stuff that people are drawn to or whatever.
What
so,
about just a nice person?
And basically what I said.
Being nice is not
so
popular.
So what I said
anymore.
Was, peaking in sixth grade is not your goal in life.
Yeah.
Okay? So, like, I don't care if you're I don't care if you're popular at all. Right. I want you to be a good person,
right.
And I want you to have quality friends, and I want you to get good grades and go get into a college. Like, these are my dreams for you, right. Not be you being popular. If it works out along the way, great. Whatever happens, happens. But your goal in life should not to be popular. You should be popular because you're a good person.
Right.
So, and again, the people that peak in high school don't do amazing afterward. So no. just
oh my gosh, no. I noticed that in my high school reunions,
I know, I'm like,
right?
save your chips, man. Just you don't want to spend them in high school. It's like
that's... No, that yeah, if you're peaking in high school, that is so sad.
Yeah. So
well, and I think
But a lot of people do. I mean,
know. Diversify
small fish
your friendships.
Or small
as well.
Pond, yeah. Big fish.
And then they end up going away to
yeah,
college
and then it's
and
like, oh, wait.
Yeah. I was the big man on campus.
Yeah, no.
I'm taking us back
not.
To Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
The BMOC. Yeah. Well, you know, I think too, just my kids have friends in, they all, I mean, there's a lot of cliques, but they have friends through different cliques.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So Ella loves the sporty kids, and then she loves the kids. I mean, one of her best friends plays sports and isn't that interested in like the girly stuff, which yeah. is awesome because she's an awesome girl. But then she has her friends that she loves to do her makeup with.
Yeah.
And then one of her best friends is this boy, and they act like just big goofballs, and they video blog all the time.
Yeah.
She doesn't just have one set of friends.
But I think that's because she's grown up in the same area. I think
Most
when
likely.
You grow up in the same yeah. area, so you start with these, like, Thea has friends that she literally, when she was doing Girl Scouts and stuff, they have been together since they were 2 years old, and they're 12 this year. So for 10 years, these girls have been friends.
Yeah.
And they will be friends forever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, they might not be best friends. They might not be, you know, like, super
Hang out
close.
All the time, but...
But at their 10-year reunion, they're going to go and be like, oh my God, remember this and that. And, yeah. you know, you just... And in high school, they might not be this, there might be one that's a drama person and one that's a sporty person. But, yeah. and that's the thing I like about our school. I feel like a lot of that kind of mixes because you don't have a choice. There's only so many people, right? So it's not like you have 1,000 kids in a class.
Right.
You have literally 450 kids for an entire high school.
That's amazing.
So there's a lot more intermixing of right. social groups, I think. But, I mean, of course, I haven't been in high school for a long time, so I don't know that to be a fact. But it's, I do think there's a difference in a small town friendships, you know, kind of.
Oh, I think those friendships last longer than
yeah.
most. And then the other thing we want to teach our kids is to speak up and stick up for other people.
Yeah, and I think that's totally, like, how I was raised. So, you know, when you're talking about bullying, I can remember being a little freshman and this, like, I had no fear, right? And this kid was, like, just picking on this other freshman, and I was like, you can't do that, and da-da-da-da-da, and they were, like, trying to turn on me, and I was like, oh, my brother will kick your ass, so you better back, like, I was just like, oh, I don't think so, you know, because I hated the people picking on, you know,
same.
Like, I will always stick up for
yeah,
the underdog, and I was really raised,
thing.
Like, you never see someone getting, like, beat up or put
right.
down and just be a bystander. You always go in and defend people. And so that was my personality big time growing up. And so,
yeah.
yeah, it's important.
So what do we tell parents when they find out, what do you tell parents about how to handle their kids if their kids are the bullies? Like,
I don't know. I mean, yeah.
I mean, I wonder if, well, wonder if number one, those are the parents who think their kids will never do that.
That is,
right?
I think when you have the attitude of my kid would never do something, that's when then you can't have the conversation ends, right? Like you can't, there's no give and take of like, oh, let's have a conversation about this. So like again, the other day, there was two girls in Tula's class that got, you know, moved into this class and, they had been in class together for the last 2 years and their teacher wanted to split them up and now they're back together and blah, blah, blah. And it was because of this drama, but they're all best friends, but we're having drama. So my thing was, why are we splitting them up? Why can't they be together so they can figure out how to navigate a friendship
right.
with strong personalities?
Right.
Let's teach them how to do that. Let's teach them skills to have friendships and not just try to separate them. So, like, they're all really close and good friends, but, you know, so with those parents, like, Thea or Tula came home, she said something about, oh, such and such happened today, and it was nothing, right? And I just texted the mom, and I said, hey, let's you and I just want to tell you what page I'm on. She's like, we are on the same exact page. I told her there will be no drama, and I told my daughter there will be no drama. So we were on the same page, and I'm like, we don't need, like, we don't even need the teacher to necessarily get involved. I think this is something that you and I, they're a lovely family. She's a lovely mom and it's a lovely child. And it's like, no, I'm not going to let them have drama. They're not having drama. It's not happening.
Right.
So you guys need to change your behavior. And so that's how, again, I think they could come across because they're such strong personalities as being bullies, but they're not doing it anything like mean spirited.
Right.
Do you know? And I think that's sort of what more makes a bully.
Do you think bullies learn from their parents and their parents are kind of bullies?
Yes. I mean,
I live in a neighborhood that definitely there's a lot of bullies. There's a lot of really shitty people. And those that are in my life that I love, they know that they're not those. But I do think they learn from, they hear their parents gossiping, they hear their parents putting down others. Well, that's what
I
was going to say.
Like, I watch The Real Housewives of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I won't let my kids watch it because it's such a poor example of friendship. I think, why the fuck am I watching it? Like, how stupid? But it's just entertaining. Sorry. I admit.
Oh, we're both guilty on
that. And I'm like, oh, my God, I would never want my girls to watch this because I would never want them to think, like, that you scream at a friend or you pull someone's hair or you like, no, this is not how we behave. So it's like, it's amazing to see how some like grown women.
We can move on to
part. Well, what I was going to say is, you know, these high school, you know, middle school, high school friendships, just navigating those. I think the best thing is to communicate with your co-moms, right?
Yep.
The parents, to have just open. I think if you also just kids knowing, like, dude, did you want me to tell your mom what you're doing right now? Or do you want to like take it down a notch? Knowing that you are going to have conversations with people and they're not going to get away with some shit. And just being, and I think ultimately as a parent, you have to like put your ego aside and think, okay, my kid actually could be a jerk.
Yes.
And how can we make this better?
Right.
Instead of being defensive and like, oh, my kid would never do that. I'm just going to ignore. Like,
yeah, I'll ignore it and just say it's your kid, my kid.
Let's look at it and be like, oh, maybe there is something and maybe we can cut this off now. And so it's not 6 years of torture for someone or whatever. And then you go into your 20s.
Oh, you go into your 20s. And I think that's where you just have your like fun friends, right? Like it's fun.
Well, it probably depends on the path you take, right? So if you are like, I got married and pregnant, you might go to like the mom group sitch.
Right.
And then if you're college, you know.
Or you're just having fun, but are those friendships, and I think a lot of people will find those friendships, you know, I was not in a sorority, but I have a lot of friends that were in sororities. And I have found that a lot of those women have found very valuable friendships in sororities. That's not my thing, but I think they have these long lasting friendships that they build.
Yeah. I mean, we have a friend that like she every year goes with her sisters and like they get together and have their fun. And so, yeah, I mean, I went to nursing school at like a community college, so it wasn't really like I feel like we were really good friends, but I'm Facebook friends with one of the girls. One of the girls I knew, she works at Swedish, and we run into each other every once in a while. I'm just like, oh, hi, but it's not like. And then one that I was actually really good friends with, we totally lost touch, and so that's it. And so my high school friends, I'm definitely more friends with than anyone in college.
Right.
But I didn't have that sorority situation or that typical college
experience. Situation. Yeah.
So that was different for me.
I think my friends really didn't come from college. My friends came from, because I had to work through college, and they came through there.
Yeah.
And in fact, I am still great friends with a lot of people that I met in my 20s. And we don't see each other very often because we live in different states. But when we get together, we pick up where we left off. And to me, that right there is the true indicator of true friendships.
Yeah.
Like I could go call my friend in Portland and I haven't seen her in 5 years and I can call her up and we pick up from the, no one gets mad because we didn't plan to see each other.
Nobody
gets just mad because
like,
we haven't called each other.
You understand life is life.
Yeah.
You don't live in the same neighborhood anymore. You're just doing your thing. And then when you get together, it's just like, oh my God, and I think a lot of that though is they probably know your parents,
right?
Like there's more of a connection. Like how are your mom and dad and how's your brother? And what are you know, your niece was born when I was, you know, when we were hanging out and I remember you talking about her, whatever, you know, it's so, I think there's like a, maybe a more of a connection, like a deeper connection,
right?
Because you are sharing your about your life with your friends. And so yeah, when I was, so I was 22 when I got my first nursing job, and I became friends with a handful of girls from there, like really good friends.
Yeah.
I would say we're all, I saw this picture on Facebook of them at this or at this Christmas party, and I was like, oh my God. Like if I had stayed working there, I would still be friends with them, but you know, we just have kind of lost touch or don't hang out as much just because we don't interact with each other. You know, there's our paths don't cross. But that being said, I could also go up to them and
be like, I need
pick up
where you pick up where you left off
because we had so many good, fun experiences. Right. I mean, I did travel nursing with these girls and, you know, or just our early 20s of like going out and all the, you know,
crazy stories,
the love lives, like, you know, trying to find a husband kind of situation and just clubbing and doing all those, being a young adult and having that, you know, I was lucky. I had a really, really good group of
girlfriends. I think too, those are invested friendships.
Yeah.
Because I now being 50, in my even like late 30s and 40s, I've met like through work and like moving, and I've met so many people.
Yeah.
However, when someone asks me about it, do I describe them as friends? I'm like, unless you invest and really want to get to know me, I knew somebody who's lived near me for 10 years now. They don't ask me questions about me.
Yeah.
They don't know me. It's very surface. How are you?
Yeah.
Like, you know, oh, they know my kids' names, but they know nothing about me. And nor do they want to take the time to get to know me. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to be friends with everybody. But those true solid friends that you have that are your ride and die friends, those, you're lucky if you get a handful in your lifetime.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And those are the ones,
one in your life.
Yeah. And those are the ones that you will cherish forever.
Yeah.
And we only can hope that our kids will have those, but it is tough. Our kids are going to go through some shit, especially girls. I think it's really,
yes, for sure. Girls, I think, have it harder, but you know, like, I mean, I think people think of friendships as this is just supposed to be this easy, fun, no work sort of situation. And that's not reality, because just any relationship is work.
Oh, yeah.
So we talk about our husbands and the ups and downs and all of this. Well, if you have a friend long enough, you're going to go through that same stuff.
You and I go through it.
Oh, my God. We have our moments where, and it's kind of cyclical, I feel, at times, because we have been friends for going on 17 years coming up. It's like there will be times when everything's great. I mean, and obviously as friends, you're going to have hopefully more good times than bad times.
Well, but, I hope so.
But there's definitely times like when we are like not seeing eye to eye.
We're
whatever,
not vibing. Yeah.
It's like you can kind of get this vibe off both of us. So we might have a couple interactions or days of work or phone calls where it's like there's someone is a little short or, and then you're like, okay. And I'll have this conversation with Andrew or something like, oh my God, she's driving me fucking nuts. And this da da da. And he's like, seriously, you guys are best friends. Get over it. And so, you know, as an adult, I say this relationship is important to me.
Right.
And I have to, I change things that I do because I obviously am aware that I'm not a perfect person. And so it's like, I told my daughter, I have to control the way I react into a situation, not the way you react. And, you know, and so, and we have moments where we're like, that fucking pissed me off.
Yes. Yeah.
Like you hurt my feelings.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then you, if it's important, you go, oh, fuck, I'm sorry.
And you continue to nurture that friendship.
And then you're like, okay, great. We went through it and we got over it. We are not best friends because we agree on everything and everything's perfect. But we have put work into... It's funny. A lot of people are just like, oh, I wish I had a friend like, you know, that we've worked on this
friendship. We have worked on it. It's not... And we'll go through those cycles again. And, you know, but if it's truly a friendship that you respect and you treasure, you'll do whatever you can to keep it going. Because friendship is work. It shouldn't be such hard work where it's just like exhausting. It should
be torturous.
No, no.
You should have some, I mean, I'm telling you, the fun times that we have together are worth going through some of the times where it's not so fun.
Right.
Because we have such fun together. So it's like, okay, this is not a friend I'm throwing away. Like, I need to figure out what is, but a lot of that is taking responsibility for your actions, right?
Yeah. So
I have to be like, okay, sorry, I overreacted, or I'm being sensitive, or I'm on my period, or
like, I'm grumpy today, whatever.
I'm screaming at my husband, and now I'm taking it out on you, or whatever. And I think that's, with all relationships, even with your husband, I think that's the key. Being open, honest, and admitting when you have fucked up.
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, that is what is so important about teaching your kids, that it is not easy. It is not easy, and that you have to work on your friendships. Yeah. I'll tell my kids, like, oh, your dad's driving me crazy, or whatever it is. And if we get in an argument or a fight, they'll be like, are you getting divorced? I'm like, you don't just let someone go because you don't agree with them, right? But what you need to do is understand if someone brings value to you.
Yeah.
Do you value them in your life? Could you imagine them not being in your life? And would you be okay with it? Because if you're okay with them not in your life, it's probably not a meaningful relationship.
Well, and, you know, my mom wasn't a huge friend. You know, she came from such a big family. Mm-hmm. We were just a lot of family interaction. But she had like not even a handful, but like a couple of really good friends that were sort of like, they could go 10 years without seeing each other or whatever. But she had this one really good friend that had four kids. We had four kids. You know, we were all the same age, two boys, two girls. It was like, and they both hopefully won't die from skin cancer because they used to like baby oil their bodies.
Oh my God, yes.
We'd go to the beach and they would just lay in the sun.
Put some lemon juice in their hair.
Yeah, and if you stood next to them to be like, Mom, I haven't eaten in 3 hours, she would scream, get out of my sun! I'm like, it's one, like half of a second that I'm standing on in you're worried I'm going to create a shadow over you, God. You know? That's so hilarious. It was like, obviously during that time of their lives, they super connected. Their husbands had the same job, you know? And so they were very, very connected. And even now, now she lives in Arizona and we're still friends with the kids. And I mean, they're actually my godparents, but like, they might go 2 years without even speaking. Yeah. And then when they see each other, it's like nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh, how's this and that? And you just go, you know, right back into it. And yeah, I feel like I'm teaching I feel lucky one that my mom sort of, like I said, she didn't have a lot of friends, but I was like, oh, they're like quality friendships.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
And I definitely am like that. Like, I don't have a ton of friends. I mean, obviously, I'm friendly with people. Yeah, I feel like...
Right. I know what you're trying to say.
Yeah, like, I'm like... Yes. It's not like I'm like, go to school and I'm just looking down at the ground. I'm like, you know, I'm like, oh, hey, how are you? What's happening to you? You know, and you're saying hi to people and I go to someone's, you know, whatever. But, like, super close, like... friend,
yes.
Because like I said, I think it does take a lot of work.
It does.
If you have a husband and kids, that's work, right?
Oh, it's work.
So to have a lot of super meaningful friendships, I think would be hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can do like one at a time.
So listeners, we'd love to hear your friendship stories and how you navigate them, what your advice you would give your children.
How do we raise good kids that aren't bullies and just nice to people? How do we raise good friends?
Yeah, how do we teach people to be friends?
Yeah.
We'd love to hear your input.
And how do you let your kid sort of navigate those friendships without creating...
Well, you don't want to fix it for them,
right?
You can't be helicopter parents who are like, oh, I'm going to take care of it. I will call their mother or their father.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
No.
You want to raise independent, smart kids who are a little bit more drama-free.
Ugh. Drama.
Can we do that?
We do that? Please. Yes, but friends are important and really enhance, I think. Amanda, your friendship enhances my life.
I love you.
I love you.
See? We love it.
I've come a long way with this one. Like, I hug people now. Like, yeah. I wasn't a big hugger.
She wasn't. And I'm a massive snuggler hugger.
I'm not a big I love you-er, and now I do. It's just... And
you're not the only friend I've gotten to do that. I've gotten some other people to start being huggers,
the
too.
The thing that I really love about it, too, is my kids watching our friendship. Yeah. Because, you know, they might pick... It's not like I'm like, oh, Thea, Amanda pissed me off.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think they see us... I just think it's a good example to show a healthy friendship.
Absolutely.
And how to navigate it. Someone count how many times we said navigate. That's going to be the drinking game.
Oh my gosh. Every time we say navigate, and we should probably put this in the beginning. Every time we say navigate, take a shot. You guys will be naked wasted by the end of this. Well, I guess that kind of wraps this up. Our topic.
Friendship.
Friends
forever.
Wow, that was good.
I don't remember the rest of the words.
I don't even know what song that is. But it doesn't really matter.
It's a Christian song.
That would be why I don't know it. But
popular in the 80s, I want to say.
I was all down
Michael
in the 80s, but
no, I don't know.
Michael Bublé. He was probably not even born yet in the 80s.
No.
So that wraps this up, you guys. Once again, follow us on Vagina Soup Podcast on Instagram.
And on Vagina Soup, our Facebook page. Or is it VJ Soup? The page is Vagina Soup. Yeah, sorry. I don't know why. I just had a moment. And then you can email. Did you say the email already?
No.
The new email is vaginasouppodcast@gmail.com. Send us anything there. And don't forget, please, 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 I beg of you, like, subscribe, share.
Like, subscribe, and share. And rate us and review us.
Oh, and review. Like,
we
subscribe,
love getting
share,
your
review.
Reviews.
Yes. So that's it.
And we
will talk to you.
I know. This is almost ending the year. I think we'll probably have time to squeeze maybe one more podcast in before the holidays.
Yeah.
And then we'll start a new season in 2019.
It's so exciting. It's exciting that we're in the teens now. Well, I guess 11's not a teen, but
number 12 will be a tween. We're going to have a tween
Our
podcast.
Tween episode.
Yeah. So let us know what you guys want to hear about. And we will get some guests. I think this next year, we're going to get a lot of guests in here. We'll just make it a little bit more
We want to be
interactive.
Your easy friend. We want to be a place where you can go.
She
wants not
to be your whole friend.
Not your easy friend, but the friend where you come, we support you, we listen.
We want to be your shoulder.
Yes.
All right, you guys. Take care.
Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next week on Vagina Soup.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.